Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was a kid, I think I was in confirmation at the time, we had a lot of Bible verses that we needed to memorize. And that was not normally a problem for me, but I did come across one Bible verse that was, let's say, challenging. Perhaps I was having a bad day. Perhaps I was just tired of memorizing. Or I suppose I could have been just a little bit rebellious. But I remember complaining loudly and long to my parents, "This verse just doesn't make any sense." In those days, we used the King James Version, and there were lots of these and thous and a lot of those other words from the Old English that even then were archaic. And I complained, why can't they just write this stuff in English so it makes sense? But I still had to learn that lesson, and so I somehow forced it into my mind, more by rote, by just repetition. And here's what I remember of that verse. "Father, I would that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am." That doesn't seem to me to make a whole lot of sense. It didn't make sense then. Let's see if I can make some sense out of it this morning. You see, part of the problem I had then was I didn't have the context. I didn't know, first of all, I wasn't really sure that that's what Jesus was saying. And secondly, I didn't know in what context he was saying it. It was just words to me. You may have noticed that this difficult text for me was actually part of our gospel reading for today. The gospel reading is a little bit surprising to us. Today is the last Sunday of the season of Easter. And so we might expect that we would read something about what Jesus did from the time in which he arose until he ascended into heaven. But not so. To our surprise, the gospel lesson for today comes from the night of the Passover, the night before Christ was betrayed. It was there at that meal, the Last Supper, that Jesus had instituted the sacrament of Holy Communion. He washed the disciples' feet. He predicted that one of those disciples would betray him. And he foretold Peter's denial. And then finally, he promises to send the Holy Spirit. And then he did something that we might do after a meal or after a meeting. He said a prayer. In the beginning of the chapter that our lesson comes from today, John writes, "When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and prayed." The prayer that he prayed then that's recorded there in John is known as the high priestly prayer. It covers three different topics. In the first five verses, Jesus prays for himself. He knows that he's going to be crucified. He knows that death is not too far away. And he prays for himself. And then in verses 6 through 19, he prays for the disciples who are there with him. And he spends 13 verses asking for God to be with them. And then we pick up in verse 20, which is our text for today. So Jesus goes on praying, "I do not ask for these only," he's referring to the disciples, "but also for those who will believe in me." Jesus talks about himself in the Father being one, and he asks that future Christians be with and in the two of them. Here's what he says. "So that the world may believe that you have sent me, I in them and they in me may be one as we are one." He's talking about unity of God, of Jesus, and bringing us into that unity as well. And then comes that verse which gave me so much trouble so many years ago. I've copied it from the Message, which is a more recent version of the Bible. It's a lot different than the King James, but it says, I think, a little more clearly to us today what we need to hear. Verse 24. Father, I want those you gave me to be with me right here where I am. Isn't that much easier to understand? Jesus is asking that everyone be there with him. And you'll notice that he is praying for all those who will believe in him. This prayer was prayed 2,000 years ago, but he's praying for people who will believe in him in the future. He wants all of his followers down through the generations to be united with him as he is united with the Father. And so this Bible verse that we look at today is really a very significant verse, particularly in the book of John, but not only that, in just in terms of salvation in general. That verse communicates the whole purpose of salvation. The whole reason God wants to save us is so that we can be with him. He wants us to be with him in heaven forever. This is not a new concept that Jesus introduced that night. He had talked about this earlier in his ministry. In chapter 10, we read this, "And I have other sheep that are not of this fold." He's referring to the Gentiles. "I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock and one shepherd," so that we are all one with Christ. Quite simply, the good news here is that Jesus wants every one of his followers to be with him, not only here on earth, but in his church in heaven. He wants Jews and Gentiles alike to be part or to be the bride of his church. Ultimately, he wants us to be with him in heaven. And so the whole purpose of salvation is communicated in this verse, the one that caused me so much consternation as a youngster. "Father, I would that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am." This prayer, as I said before, is prayed during the last hours of Jesus' life before he was crucified. Jesus prayed in that prayer for us who sit here at Emmanuel Lutheran Church on June 2nd, 2019. We are included in his words, but also for those who will believe in me. And so here's how I might summarize that text for today, to put it in words that are a little easier for us to grasp, at least put them in another set of words for your consideration. You and I are one, Dad. I want the people at Emmanuel Albany to be one with us also. I am in them and you are in me, that we may all be perfectly one. I want them, the people at Emmanuel, to be always with me in eternity. I want this so that the rest of the citizens of Albany will know that you sent me, Dad. Jesus prayed for us, and he continues to pray for us today. In the Old Testament, it was the priests who prayed, who interceded for the people and prayed for the people to God. But in our text for today, Jesus prayed for us sitting here today. And he has not stopped praying for us either. In Romans, we read this. Christ is the one who died. More than that, the one who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Jesus prays for us. The Holy Spirit groans for us. This has some pretty significant implications for the world in which we find ourselves today. Our society seems to be divided along all kinds of political and cultural grounds and across those spectrums. We talked about this a little bit in Sunday school. It just seems to be acceptable today. It seems to be normal to dehumanize and degrade other people who don't believe what we believe. It's become easy for us to deny their humanity, especially with those people that we disagree with. It's easy for us to see them only through the lens of our judgmentalism. In our brokenness, we would like to make the decision of who God should love and who God should allow into heaven. But you see this. The man or the woman with whom you disagree is not a homosexual or a homophobe, not a liberal or a conservative, not pro-choice or pro-life. Every man and woman on the earth is a human being whom God has created and for whom Christ has died. And so the challenge for us today is to accept that Jesus wants all sinners to be part of his kingdom. Our tendency is to judge others based on our perception of their relative merit. We categorize them, we label them, we take away their humanity that God gave them. But it's not our job to judge. Our job is only to love and care for them as Christ commanded. Jesus doesn't say there are some that he doesn't want to be with him. When he prayed that night, it was for all those who will believe in him. And he wants all who believe in him to be with him where he is, and that is in heaven. In the epistle for today, John describes what heaven looks like in the vision that he had. He describes the river of the water of life. He describes it as being bright as crystal and as flowing down from the throne of God and flowing through heaven. And this ever-flowing river is an unending stream of abundant blessings and joy for the people who are there. He describes the tree of life that was present in the Garden of Eden. That tree of life was denied to Adam and Eve when they ate the forbidden fruit. And that tree of life now provides nourishment to the residents of heaven. And there is more good news beyond that. Jesus' last words in the Bible come in the second to the last verse in Revelation. Surely I am coming soon. To which John adds a wonderful comment, Amen, come, Lord Jesus. But you might say, well, it's been 2,000 years. That's quite a bit of time for me. I don't see how that is considered to be soon. We have to keep in mind that God is eternal. Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. And so when you look at eternity, a couple thousand years is not very significant. But Jesus still says, I am coming back soon. And so today we are reminded that when Jesus prayed for those who would become Christians, that's us. He was including us in that prayer. He was including us sitting here today at Emmanuel Lutheran Church. This was not just a prayer for himself. It was not just a prayer for the disciples. Even we are included in that prayer. Jesus prayed for us then, and he continues to pray for us and intercede for us today. That same Jesus who hung on the cross and said, It is finished, prayed that we would someday be with him in heaven. And so, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, take us to heaven. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.